And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Yo, yo, welcome to a post-game edition of the Forum Club. I am your host, Jovan Buha, Lakers beat writer for The Athletic. And on Friday night, the Lakers defeated the Portland Trailblazers 102-93. They finally snapped the streak, the four-game losing streak. It was, to me, the best win since probably February 4th against the Nuggets, and potentially even better than that. You might have to go back to the Milwaukee game on the road, the Chicago game on the road, which were in late January. Like, this was overall, I think, the Lakers' best game, again, in almost a month. And I think that the biggest thing, you know, the story of the game, the place I want to start is Dennis Schroeder. 22 points, almost at 32. 22 points in 32 minutes in his return. And the Lakers were 0-4 in his absence. Of course, AD is also out. But I think Dennis was, you know, the thing that flipped that dynamic where, you know, I think the Lakers could have won at least a game, if not two, of those four if Dennis were available. But the fact that he wasn't, you know, I think that was just the final straw in, you know, kind of making them go on this skid. But he did not look like a guy who missed the last week and was basically quarantining in his own guest room, as he said, just playing video games and working out. And he actually spoke out, you know, against the NBA after the game, where he said, you know, he'd never tested positive over the past week. He didn't even know about his, you know, questionable testing or contact tracing until he was arriving at the arena and was in his car and got a call from Rob Pelinka that they weren't sure if he was going to be able to play. And then, you know, eventually got word that he wasn't going to be able to. So it was a interesting, you know, post-game conversation from him of just his experience and how frustrating it was and how difficult it was to watch the team struggle in his absence when he didn't have COVID and you know, he had the member of his household that tested positive ended up testing negative twice after that. So, you know, they're not sure if it was a false positive or kind of what went on with that. But because of that, he had to miss a week. So that was an unfortunate situation. It probably cost the Lakers again a game or two, but you know, Dennis was back and he helped. Like he helped a lot. Again, 22 points. I thought the biggest thing was 9 of 9 free throw shooting, and I asked Frank about that after the game. That, you know, looking at the Lakers' recent game logs, they had not been getting to the free throw line as much without Dennis and AD, which makes sense. But you know, they needed those guys back in the lineup to do that. And that's part of the Lakers' identity, is they do put you in foul trouble, that they get to the free throw line and they can kind of control the pace that way, you know, with guys, you know, LeBron and AD, of course, but Trez and Dennis and, you know, Alex and Kyle, like these guys can draw fouls, get to the free throw line, THT. Like, so I think the fact that they were missing that component of, you know, a downhill guy who was going to put pressure on a defense. And Dennis, like, you know, I thought he really showed that tonight. And, you know, his trademark defense was there. He didn't actually guard Dame that much. It was mainly KCP and Alex on Dame. Dennis was defending Gary Trent Jr., chasing him around screens and, you know, being the help side guy on the weak side. And I thought he played a really good game overall. Like, you know, the assist to turnover thing is the only knock I can really give him. You know, two turnovers and two assists, and that's kind of been an issue for him at times this season, where, you know, when Dennis is at his best, he is scoring more than playmaking. But this team needs that sometimes, especially in those non-LeBron minutes that we've been talking a lot about recently. So I think overall a welcomed addition to the Lakers rotation. Ended up playing 32 minutes, second most on the team behind LeBron. So I think right there, and LeBron kind of mentioned it after the game, like they just needed kind of another body, another guy in the rotation to give them some depth, to give them some juice, and to kind of balance out the minutes, the shots, just everything. Everybody fell more in line with Dennis back. So I think, you know, moving forward now, looking at the next three games before the All-Star break, like I think there is some potential optimism here for the Lakers to close things out where, you know, Golden State, I think that is a very winnable game. Not the most winnable. I guess Sacramento is technically the most winnable, but, you know, some of the Lakers-Kings matchups have been weird in recent years. And that's, the last game before the All-Star break. Sometimes players or teams kind of check out and it's a road game. So you never know. But I think, Golden State is arguably the most winnable game of the remaining three. And then they got the Sacramento game, last. And then in the middle is the Phoenix game, which I think is going to be tough. Phoenix is right behind the Lakers in the standings, and they're playing at a really high level. I have two All-Stars in Chris Paul and Devin Booker, but I think there's a good chance that the Lakers could now go 2-1 to close, including winning this one, potentially 3-1 over their final four games.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Dennis and his impact can't be understated. I think that clearly was the story of the game. The other thing was LeBron, of course, 28 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 steals, and 3 blocks, almost a 5x5. With the pace he had started, he got most of those defensive numbers, in the first half, and by like midway through the third, and it was looking like he might pull up Andre Kirilenko or a Josh Smith. And Josh Smith was actually the last guy to put up that exact stat line of 28 points, 11, 7, 4, and 3. And to me, this was LeBron's probably his best defensive game of the season. I just felt that the way he was rotating and the way that he was breaking up plays, and it wasn't just, he had 4 steals, but he definitely had several other deflections. I don't have the number in front of me, but it was just breaking up plays, with the way that Portland runs its offense with those high pick and rolls with Dame Lillard. A lot of times it's Dame trying to beat a scrambling defense and kicking it to the corner, kicking it to the roll guy. Maybe that roll guy looks for someone. And LeBron was reading those plays like a cornerback really, really well. And then also, with the 3 blocks, like meeting guys at the rim, contesting things. Like overall, like activity-wise, this was as active as he's been in a game all season. And I think that was really reflected in the steals and blocks. And overall, the Lakers had 9 steals, 7 blocks, forced 15 turnovers, and only had 9 turnovers themselves. And that really is a big thing for the Lakers, because they can be so turnover prone in their worst stretches. When they can cause turnovers on the other end and then, take care of the ball themselves, like they're very difficult to beat, because if you're giving the Lakers more possessions and more opportunities, and looking at the final field goal tally, they took 5 more shots than the Blazers, making 5 more. And then, so they didn't even shoot that well. They only shot 42%. But they also had the 28 free throw attempts compared to the Blazers' 20. So the Lakers won the possession battle, also had 15 offensive rebounds, out-rebounded the Blazers 52-45 overall. So when the Lakers win the possession battle, they're very, very tough to beat. Like, unless you're, maybe the Nets, maybe the Jazz, maybe the Clippers, like, that level of offense can maybe withstand losing the possession battle and keep it close with the Lakers. But for the most part, if they're winning the possession battle, again, fewer turnovers, more shots, more offensive rebounds, like they're most likely, 9 out of 10, if not basically like 10 out of 10 times, going to win that game. And they won the possession battle tonight, which really helped. Montrezl Harrell deserves a shout out. 17 points, 9 rebounds. Alex Caruso had 10 points, including a couple threes, had a nice dunk, only his second dunk of the season. And then I think he might have had another dunk, if I'm not mistaken. Might have had two dunks tonight. But, you know, really good defense on Dame Lillard. THT had a nice stretch in the first half where some drives, some playmaking, had four assists, a couple blocks. Like, I just thought two-way play from him, you know, it continues to improve on both ends. And overall, this was a solid win. Like, I thought Marc Gasol had some good minutes. Didn't shoot the ball well. Neither did Keefe, who replaced Kuz, I guess, permanently or temporarily, but you know, for now in the starting lineup. You know, those guys missed some open threes, and you know, they were 1 for 9 combined. But I thought Mark had some good moments, and overall, this is just a really good win. Like, you know, I think the role players stepped up defensively. KCP and Alex defending Dame. Kuz just being an active guy in the glass, five offensive rebounds, you know, five offensive rebounds for Trez as well. You know, Kuz led the team in rebounding with 11, you know, tied LeBron. So I just think this was a nice team win. 9 of the 10 guys I thought had positive impacts. The one guy who didn't was Wes Matthews. And, you know, he kind of looked like early season Wes Matthews that is on the fringes of the rotation. Only played 9 minutes, which was the fewest of anybody. But aside from that, and again, you know, some criticisms here and there. They missed some free throws. Only shot 7 of 27 from three. Like, this was a complete win. This was as impressive of a win, again, as they've had in about a month. And when you factor in no AD, it gets even more impressive. And you know, Portland was out without CJ McCollum and Yusuf Nurkic, Zach Collins. Like, they're not whole either. But you know, they have been winning. You know, now they're on their own four-game losing streak. But before that, I believe they had been on a six-game winning streak. So, you know, Portland's been a little up and down, but they're still a solid team. Dame Lillard had 35-7. Like, he's playing at a MVP-caliber level. So I think this is a really good win. And to me, the best defensive performance without Anthony Davis this season. Like, you know, I'd have to really go through the game log to fully confirm that. I'm pulling up 80s game log on Basketball Reference, but you know, unless I'm missing a game, well, the Minnesota game, but that was just, you know, that one I'm throwing out because I you know, it's Minnesota, and the Lakers actually, that was actually more of an offensive performance with the way that they just dismantled the Wolves. Like, that wasn't even that good of a defensive performance, if I remember that correctly. Yeah, looking at it, I mean, It wasn't the second Minnesota game. It wasn't any of those OKC overtime games. You know, Detroit, they lost that game. Chicago, no. So, yeah. So, this was, like, by far, actually, I think, the best defensive performance without AD. Frank Vogel shouted out the bigs after the game, saying that he feels that they're finally grasping his defensive system, especially in the pick and roll. So, I think nothing but positives really coming from this game. Wasn't a perfect game. You know, they trailed in the beginning. They trailed at halftime. But I thought from the second quarter on, this was a Lakers-style game. Had 52 points in the paint compared to just 30 from Portland. So protected the paint really well. Also outscored Portland 23-13 on fast break points. So overall, again, I just think a close-to-perfect game. This was a solid A from the Lakers, especially, you know, considering the opponent and considering AD was out, and honestly considering their home struggles. Like, they are now just 10-7 at home. Like, they have not, for whatever reason, played well at home. And the fact that they, you know, finally broke out of this when in the beginning they took a couple punches, looked like they were potentially going to lose the game, or you know, were trailing by double digits a couple times. Like, I think this is a really, really good win.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
It's now time for the open forum. Let's get into a couple questions here from our listeners. Okay, this one is from Aman Tiku at General Ant Tick on Twitter. Will we see more AD Trez Braun trio lineups later in the season? Yes, I do think that is going to be one of the Lakers' closing variations. I do think that the Lakers are going to most often close with a core of, you know, LeBron and AD are the staples. They're the locks. They're always going to close, barring injury, right? Even with foul trouble, you know, it doesn't matter. They're always closing. The next two guys I think that are going to be built into the closing lineup are Alex and Dennis. I think that is your backcourt. And you know, depending on the team, they might have to go a little bit bigger. But even if you're looking at like a Brooklyn matchup, right, you're going to put Alex on James potentially, and then Dennis on Kyrie, or you know, I guess by vice versa, you could switch that. But I think that's how the Lakers would probably play that. I think that fifth spot is going to rotate between KCP and Kuz for the most part. And you know, I think KCP is the favorite, and we're going to see that kind of smaller lineup where AD's at the five, LeBron's at the four, then you go to three guards on the perimeter. You could see Kuz if they are playing a bigger team. You know, I look at, you know, potentially the Nets, potentially the Clippers, potentially the Bucks. Some of these teams that have some big wings that, you know, KCP can't handle as well. And that just gives you a little bit more flexibility where you can switch Kuz, LeBron, AD pretty seamlessly. And then, you know, maybe Alex can handle a bigger wing for a possession or two. You know, I think he, you know, similar to a guy like Patrick Beverley or Marcus Smart, like Alex can play up and defend bigger guys. And then, you know, Dennis, you don't really want switching onto those guys. But I think at the end of games, you're looking at a lot of switching. You're looking at a lot of matchups and how teams can exploit you one-on-one or in the pick and roll. And you know, so I think I'm in favor of going with a little bit more size. You know, personally, I would actually take, if it comes down to it, I would actually take Dennis out over Alex, just because of Alex's defense and his energy and I think how important he is on that end. And so, you know, I could see something maybe like in LeBron and AD and then Kuz, KCP, Alex, something like that. But maybe you don't have enough playmaking there and that's where they want to keep Dennis. So I do think it's usually going to be LeBron, AD, Alex, and Dennis, and then you swap different guys in that fifth spot. But one of those guys could be Trez. I'd put KCP and Kuz over him, but in certain matchups, I think you can close with Trez. And I'm pulling it up right now, how many minutes that trio has played together. I think they've played together a decent amount because, you know, Trez has been closing some games for the Lakers this season. Not recently, but, you know, overall, he, especially towards the beginning of the season, and then, you know, Frank kind of went away from that recently. Since AD's been out, but I'm pulling it up now. Let's see, Trez with LeBron and AD. It might not even be on the first page of the lineups. I don't think it is, which means it's played fewer than 100 minutes. So Trez, LeBron, and AD has played in 20 games. Lakers are 15-5 in those games. Played 92 total minutes with a 111.1 offensive rating and a 105.3 defensive rating for a total net rating of 5.7. Looking at it, that group has not rebounded well, only a 48.6 rebound percentage. It is not passed well either with a 50% assist percentage. Low turnover percentage, only 10.5. 53.3 effective field goal is not that good. So it, and 56.2 true shooting is below average as well. So, and 98.12 pace, it's played a little slower. So there are some things that you don't love with this group. It's rebounded the ball offensively really well, 32.3 offensive rebound percentage, but only a 68.3 defensive rebound. So they've gotten killed on the defensive glass with that group. And I think part of that is, especially if AD's playing out on the perimeter, which the Lakers have, in those instances, put Trez on the five and AD on the wing, or you know, the four, the stretch four, whatever. Sometimes if AD is brought out, you know, they're really not going to rebound well, because Trez is not a good rebounder. He's a good offensive rebounder. He's not a good defensive rebounder. He's a average to below average defensive rebounder. And then LeBron, it depends on the night and how much effort he's giving defensively. I think for the most part, he is a you know, good to really good defensive rebounder, but he's a guy also who, depending on, you know, if he's a big, you know, help guy for the team. So there are instances in which he has to rotate, and you know, if they're playing with smaller guys in the prim, like, so I guess my concern with that group would just be the rebounding. You know, looking at it, the assist percentage, the ball doesn't move as well, and them playing slower, that doesn't really bother me. But I mean, my concern is, like, I think eventually the Lakers have to get to a point where when AD is on the floor with Trez, he is defending fives and Trez is defending fours. I think that is a better use of both of those guys defensively. Like, Trez is more of a four than a five, you know, just by his physical stature. And I really just think positionally, like, he makes a lot more sense there than he does as a five. And, you know, the Clippers didn't really have the personnel to allow him to play next to another big and play the four. You know, maybe they could have done that a little bit more with Jermichael Green, but the Lakers have that in Anthony Davis. Like, they have the perfect, you know, moldable piece of clay, you know, defender to put around, you know, really any big. Like, AD can, whatever big you pair AD with, he can mold into whatever that big needs as a partner. And I think with Trez, he needs more of that rim protector, defensive rebounder. And that's where, you know, I think in those lineups, AD should be playing the five, not the four. So to get back to your question, like, yes, I think there are matchups in which it makes sense. Like, I see Trez as a big guy in the first round. I think no matter who they're playing, it's probably going to be an advantageous matchup for him, and a matchup in which he can thrive. But, you know, moving into the second round and beyond, when you're looking at potential matchups with the Jazz, the Suns, the Clippers, the Nuggets, that's where I have less confidence in Trez closing. Now, again, you can go to those lineups, and they will, like, throughout the game, but I look at that trio as more of a closing lineup, and in that sense, I don't love it deeper in the playoffs. But in the beginning of the playoffs, I think it should be fine. Let's see. I think we're going to wrap up there. I'm trying to keep these post-game pods a little bit tighter, closer to 20 minutes. So we're going to start taking 1 to 2 questions post-game and then diving into those a little bit deeper to give you guys some better answers. But as always, thank you guys for listening. I always appreciate it. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jovan Buha. That's at JovanBuha. If you have not subscribed to this podcast yet, you can do so on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, The Athletic, wherever you're listening to it right now. And if you've not subscribed to The Athletic, you can go to theathletic.com, or you could subscribe off of one of my stories, which would be much appreciated. I will be back Sunday night to discuss the Lakers matchup with the Warriors.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.